Suns Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Of the 24 teams that will compete at next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast, the Taifa Stars of Tanzania are the lowest ranked, according to FIFA. But Tanzania gets top billing on Tuesday's show. Iron Mike Mbonye will talk with Tanzanian football analyst Jeff Lea. The team will kick off its third Nations Cup campaign with a match against 2022 World Cup semifinalist Morocco. And then the Tanzanians will take on Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo. In his chat with Iron Mike Mbonye, Jeff Lea said Tanzanian fans have low expectations as their team takes on quality opponents.
It's a mixed bag of feelings amongst the fans because, as you know, most fans know for a fact that Morocco has way better players, Hakim Ziyech. You're talking of players like Naif Agued at West Ham. You're talking of players like Sofian Amrabat at Man United. So obviously, facing players like that, we won't have much of a chance. You might as well say the same with Congo DRC. They have a very good team, and fans out here in Tanzania understand that. So yeah, they know that our position is underdogs, and for us, qualifying was everything that we needed. We're a country that doesn't always qualify for tournaments like this. This is only the third time in our history that we're qualifying for AFCON. So for us, the biggest dream was qualifying, and we cannot really demand much more from our players, knowing that we are facing literally one of our toughest groups ever. You know, we once qualified for the first time in 1980 for the tournament that was held in Nigeria, and then we followed that up with another qualification that came 40 years later in 2019, and this is our third time. So as a nation, we're still building our footballing history, and with that, we can't be expected to do much, really.
What are the chances of the Taifa Stars of Tanzania in Group F with big names like Morocco and Zambia?
I mean, it's definitely a very difficult group because it involves countries that have all won the African Cup of Nations at one point in time in the history of this lucrative competition in Africa. Morocco last won it in 1976. Zambia, the ones who maybe won it albeit recently, in 11 years ago in 2013. Congo also won it in the 70s, but they remain a perennial powerhouse of African football due to the abundance of European-based talents, if you like. Morocco, the best footballing nation in Africa at the moment. You might as well put Zambia in the same category. They have a lot of talents as well. So the weakest team in this group is definitely Taifa Stars of Tanzania, and that's a position we accept because for us, qualifying for the AFCON is a huge achievement in itself. We are nowhere near the opponents who we face in this group, so we are content with the position we have because our main target was qualifying, and once that happened, there's little that can be expected of us.
Youth. What has been the reaction of football fans in Tanzania on the Taifa Stars group?
Of course, being underdogs, not much is expected from Taifa Stars facing teams that are way better than us, Zambia, Congo, and Morocco. But of course, we'll give it our all. We'll give it our best shot. We'll definitely be expected to maybe cause an upset because sometimes even one win in a 24-team has four extra round of 16 positions for the best third place teams. Yeah, we can expect to cause an upset. We can expect to cause an upset of that sort, maybe to a country like Zambia or even Congo DRC. I'm not so sure you can have a 10% chance of beating Morocco, but stranger things have happened in football, and you never know anything that may happen. Of course, Congo, DRC, and Morocco are way better than us, but yes, we'll give it our best shot.
Give it your best shot, Taifa Stars. That's Jeff Leah, a Tanzanian football analyst. And Jeff was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera recently rewarded members of the country's national women's football team, nicknamed the Scorchers, with bonuses and parcels of land for lifting the CASAFA Women's Championship trophy. It was Malawi's first trophy in international football in 35 years. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Lamech Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. It was all pomp and jubilation at the State House when players for the Malawi National Women's Football Team, popularly known as the Scorchers, officially presented the CASAFA Cup to Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera. This is the first time in 35 years for any national team in Malawi to win a cup at an international competition. Malawi last won a cup in 1988 when the men's national football team won the Eastern Central African Senior Challenge Cup after beating Zambia 3-1. President Lazarus Chakwera said Malawi's historic triumph on October 15th signifies the dedication and commitment of the players.
It is not by luck that you beat South Africa 4-3 in your first group stage match. It's not by luck that you dismantled Eswatini by 8-0 in your second group stage match. It is not by luck that you disoriented Madagascar with the 3-1 in your third group stage match.
President Chakwera also said it was not by luck that the Scorchers left neighboring Zambia dizzy with a 2-1 victory in the final.
And it is certainly not by luck that you snatched the crown from the grasp of the defending champions themselves with a 2-1 victory over Zambia.
As a token of appreciation, President Chakwera ordered the Minister of Lands to allocate plots of 30 meters by 25 meters and pledged cash of about $1,300 to all players and the technical panel. The rewards, including others the Football Association of Malawi pledged, are a morale booster for the Scorchers, who, despite their win, received nothing from championship organizers. In a statement this week, CASAFA officials said there will be no prize money for the teams, largely because no sponsor came on board to carry the cost. But it said the prize money would only be given to the player of the tournament, the Golden Boot and the Golden Glove winners. According to the Football Association of Malawi, Malawi made its international debut in the CASAFA Women's Championship in 2002 when it was eliminated in the group stages. Over the years, the country has been unlucky until 2021 when it finished second after losing to Tanzania 1-0 in the finals. Adraid Migogo is the chairperson for the National Women's Football Association. She says this year's victory is a result of a transformation the team has recently gone through, including the recruitment of new players and technical team members.
We are happy to have made you, sir, and the whole nation proud. We promise you, Your Excellency, that with adequate support from government, donors, private sector support, this cup will only be the first of many to come. And our dream is to put Malawi on the world map in women's football.
However, sports analysts told VOA that it is now up to the government to provide a lot of support to women's football development by offering sponsorships and encouraging young girls to take up the women's football. At the moment, only the Football Association of Malawi is sponsoring women footballers with funding from the World Football Body, FIFA. Walter Nyamilandu is the president of the Football Association of Malawi. He says the association set up necessary structures for the development of women's football across the country, and he appeals for more support from the private sector in the game.
Because has assembled a young squad with an average age of 17 years. It is a team that will take us for the next 10, 15 years going forward, meaning to say that the success that we have achieved today, if nurtured, will be a continuous thing for Malawi.
During the COSAFA Championship, Temwa Chawinga, who plays professional soccer for the Chinese club, Wuhan, was the coach's captain, and Love Mofazili was the coach for the team. Temwa, a younger sister to PSG player Tabitha Chawinga, won both the Player of the Tournament award and the Golden Boot as a top scorer with 9 goals during the COSAFA Championship. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. In mixed martial arts, top fighters from Russia and Australia battled in a rematch over the weekend in the Middle East. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The main event at UFC 294 in Abu Dhabi did not disappoint. Islam Makhachev, the lightweight champion of the UFC, took on the featherweight champion Alexander Volkanovski in a rematch from UFC 284. Volk took the fight on 11 days' notice after Charles Oliveira withdrew due to a cut. Although Volk lost their first bout, many stated that it was Islam's most challenging and controversial win. Makhachev made sure there was no debate about the outcome of the rematch. He used a devastating kick with his left leg to Volkanovski's right temple, then quickly pounced and used 9 hammering blows with his left hand before referee Mark Goddard stopped the fight at the 3:06 mark of the first round Saturday. In their post-fight interview, Islam was asked if he felt that his striking was in question because fans and analysts alike see his style as grappling and wrestling heavy. This is what he had to say.
Of course, some people underestimated my striking, but I show in the first fight, I showed the people my striking. And I think now people will respect my striking, and I just show I am not just wrestler, grappler, or striker. And I know I am a best fighter, best MMA fighter in the world.
Volkanovski has shared numerous times that he battles with mental health challenges, especially when he isn't fighting. He mentioned his desire to take the fight on such short notice is mainly because of that.
I never thought I'd struggle with it, but I mean, like, for some reason, when I wasn't fighting or in camp, I just do my head in, you know what I mean? I needed a fight, and then this opportunity come up, and, you know, I'll be honest, I wasn't training as much as I should have, but I thought I had to take it. I thought it would be, you know, I'm telling myself it's meant to be. Obviously, I was struggling a little bit, not fighting, doing my head in. I don't know how, everything's fine. I've got a beautiful family. I think you just need to keep busy. So that's why, I just ask the UFC to, you know, just keep me busy.
In an action-packed co-main event, Khamzat Chimaev remained undefeated, scoring his 13th consecutive win with a majority decision over the former welterweight king and arguably the number one pound-for-pound candidate, Kamaru Usman. Usman now has a record of 20 wins and 4 losses. He took the middleweight bout on short notice, replacing the initial opponent, Paulo Costa. "I was a school kid when he was fighting," Chimaev said of Usman. "This bout to me means big things." Judges scored the bout 29-27 twice, with a 28-28 on the third card. Dana White, the president of the UFC, said the winner of the Chimaev and Kamaru fight will get a title shot with the current champ, Sean Strickland. "We will have to wait and see if Dana still thinks that's the best option for the UFC. I'm VOA's Mukbil Yabarow, sending it back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Mukbil.
¶¶
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. In pro basketball news, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo has signed a 3-year contract extension, reportedly worth $186 million. Let's do the math, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. That comes out to $62 million per year. The AP's Geffen Coolbaugh tells us more.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has indicated on social media that he has agreed to a contract extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. Antetokounmpo issued a social media post Monday saying, "Milwaukee, let's get it. #BucksIn6, #extended. The post came as ESPN reported that the two-time MVP had agreed on a 3-year extension worth $186 million with a player option for the 2027-28 season. Milwaukee made a blockbuster trade over the offseason to acquire Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers and pair him with Antetokounmpo. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Geffen. The National Basketball Association tips off a new season later Tuesday night with 2 games. In the opening contest, the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets will host the Los Angeles Lakers, and that will be followed by a game between the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns in San Francisco, California. Now, the Nuggets-Lakers matchup is a rematch of last season's Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets swept the Lakers in 4 consecutive games on their way to winning their first NBA championship in the franchise's 47-year history. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my report about the Nuggets beating the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals.
The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of 7 NBA Finals, 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. And it's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believing us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Well, gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia. Was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have a NBA championship, and I think It's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer. You know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being looking back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody, every real hooper, you know, wants to be on the stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time, and a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, have the team have total belief in me, people back home have total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for, and just to see it like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship. You know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like, he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. You know, I love Nikola, 8 years, love Jamal, 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. It's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person. And I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member
of the now defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the Texas Rangers, who have advanced to Major League Baseball's World Series. The AP's Chuck Freeman has that story, as well as National Football League news.
There will be a new World Series champion this year after the Texas Rangers beat the defending champion Houston Astros in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
The Rangers are headed to the World Series for the first time in 11 years after Adolis Garcia homered twice in an 11-4 Game 7 win over the Astros. Garcia finished with 4 hits, drove in 5 runs, and was named ALCS MVP. Rangers second baseman Marcus Semien.
He's an animal, you know, he's got power to all fields. He's a great defender, great arm, great base runner, 5-tool player.
Corey Seager collected 3 hits, including a home run that started a 3-run first inning for the Rangers. Adam Spillane, Houston.
And who are the Rangers playing the World Series? Well, we don't know yet. They're going to a Game 7 in the National League Championship Series. Arizona took Game 6. Tommy Pham and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. blasted back-to-back homers to give the Diamondbacks the early lead. They went on to down the Philadelphia Phillies 5-1. Diamondbacks third baseman Evan Longoria said his team's path to a Game 7 is a familiar one.
When you're at this ballpark, you know, you got to try and get out to an early lead. It doesn't necessarily take the crowd out of it, but kind of calms the nerves a little bit, you know, allows guys to settle in a little bit more.
Game 7 is tonight. Monday Night Football, the Minnesota Vikings pulled off a 22-17 upset of the San Francisco 49ers on the arm of Kirk Cousins, who threw for 378 yards.
They got a great team, great defense, and they showed that tonight. Felt their rush, felt them playing fast. Proud of the way our team played.
Chuck Freeman.
Thanks, Chuck. Finally, let's give another sunny side of sports salute to American gymnastics great Mary Lou Retton, who has returned home following a lengthy hospital stay because of pneumonia. Mary Lou's daughter wrote on Instagram that her mother is now in recovery mode, and we wish the 55-year-old Retton nothing but the best here at the sunny side of sports. Retton leaped and flipped to fame at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, where she won the gold medal in the women's individual all-around. And I remember seeing Mary Lou Retton on a box of Wheaties back in my younger days. We wish her well as she recovers from pneumonia. And that wraps up the October 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.